Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Previously on A New Winter, the horrific, huge, black, oily creature had found me again, and from it came the faces, the moans and sounds, all of which looked and sounded like me, and it was coming directly for us. This is episode 50 of A New Winter. "We've got to leave," I said. "Come on." Lauren was just staring at the creature, as if she'd been pulled into a trance. "Come on," I shouted, and dragged her away. "I fucking hate it down here," I mumbled to myself, running further down the corridor into the red light, Lauren stumbling behind me. "What is that?" she said, clearly terrified. "It's some kind of amalgamation of me, of different versions of me. It seems to be made of this strange black goo that's made up from... well, you don't want to know, but it's not good. Come on, in here, hide." I opened a random door in the hope that it would offer some salvation, but as I looked in, I was suddenly looking at a wide open field covered in snow. In fact, it was the Stockwell farm, but there, in the middle, was Sandra. She stood perfectly still as, around her, a pool of blood appeared from nowhere, absorbing into the snow, melting it. And quickly, it began spreading. The entire snowy field succumbing to this flood of red. And before I knew it, I saw the entire scene in front of me bathed in blood. Sandra remaining completely still, just staring right back at me. A huge mechanical-like scream bellowed into the air, and I shut the door. "Wrong door," I said to Lauren, and we quickly moved on. The black creature moving quicker now. "Come on, Lauren," I began shouting. We twisted and turned through the maze until we saw a long corridor with a single door at the end. "This looks like a way out," I said, pulling Lauren along with me. The creature was almost upon us now. It seemed to have grown in size and strength. Lauren was still looking back, entranced but seemingly disgusted by the beast at our heels. We reached the door and tried to open it, but it wouldn't budge. "No," I said. "No." Was that someone laughing behind the door? I threw myself against it, but nothing was working. Shit. The beast was right behind us. I looked at Lauren, and she looked back up at me, her eyes pleading, mine seemingly hopeless. My gaze moved upwards to face the terror. It was too late. There was nowhere to go. Standing there in front of us was the beast. I began trembling, but held my chin up. If this was to be my last stand, then I wanted to go down with some dignity. The monster stood still for a moment, as if trying to figure me out. Then suddenly, a black, gooey arm emerged from its body, and I winced, waiting for the oncoming pain. But instead I heard Lauren scream. The creature had grabbed her by the arm. "No, wait," I said, and reached out. "Help," she screamed, panic and fear in her eyes, and slowly the creature pulled her in. "No," I was screaming, trying to pull Lauren away from the creature, but it was too strong. She slowly started to disappear into the beast. She began getting hysterical, and I focused on trying to somehow get her out. When I realised pulling her was no good, I began trying to tear at it, pound it with my fists, anything, but it was no use. Lauren's screaming face slowly disappeared into that black pool of darkness, and then silence. I stood looking at the creature. It felt like it was staring right back at me, gloating maybe, hardly making a sound. I was in shock. Then, as if sensing my growing anger, it grew in size, getting larger and larger, just towering over me in this tiny corridor. And as it did so, my head began pounding even harder. It was too intense this time. I screamed out and fell on the floor in pain, clutching at my head. Then as it subsided and I opened my eyes, I realised the monster had gone. The door behind me that was once shut slowly opened back up. From it came a light. It was bright. Too bright. My eyes adjusted and I saw Thule doing up his tie. He was in a bedroom mirror. He looked rushed, hot and bothered. But he looked more confident, agile, robust than the old frame that I remembered him having. "Daddy," I heard from afar. "What?" he shouted. "Daddy, what?" he shouted again, angrier this time. And there she was, Sandra, the little girl. "Daddy, look." And she held up a cuddly fish toy. "Look, it's got..." He grabbed it while she was still talking and threw it on the floor. "Don't bother me with this shit. I'm trying to get dressed here, for fuck's sake." Sandra looked up to Thule, disappointed. "Daddy, I..." "Go downstairs and see Mummy," he shouted. "Fuck's sake, do I have to do everything here?" Sandra rushed out. "Oh, fuck. I've done my tie wrong now." Thule shouted and started punching the wall. Again and again. Over and over. And with every punch, it felt like it was slamming me in the chest. The air flew out of my lungs and I found it hard to breathe. Slamming again and again. It was overwhelming. Then the blue light appeared and shined through the door. And then it turned a brilliant white and slam. The door shut. I gasped for air as if I'd just come up for water after nearly drowning. And it was quiet again. I was back in the corridor, the red light, which for once was a comfort to me. I laid back and stared up at the ceiling while my breathing steadied. "What am I doing?" I thought to myself. "How come every time I meet someone, I just end up alone? Why can I never seem to cling to anything? I have to ruin everything somehow." I shook my head. "No," I thought. "I'm going to get Lauren back. I'm going to do something about it this time. I won't let her be just another Kate, another Jackie, another Nicola. I'm going to go get her, put an end to whatever that horrid thing is." I got to my feet and walked back to the other side of the corridor. I felt weak, but stable. What exactly was I going to do? I wasn't quite sure yet, but this sudden focus gave me some kind of purpose. Even though I was physically weak, I felt like I could do this. The corridors were quiet. I didn't feel threatened at that moment. I felt at peace in a strange way. And as I kept walking, it was as if the doors were watching me, unsure of what I was doing, waiting to serve their purpose, waiting to embody the idea of a decision, of a cause and effect, waiting to be that gateway between the hidden and the enlightened. I felt like I was floating, wandering down these corridors. Soon 1 became 10. 10 quickly became 100. I didn't stop. I couldn't stop. And then my head started throbbing again. And I knew I was close. The red glow had dissipated. Where was I? Instead, A darkness had loomed in, like a disease, and appearing from it, as if from nowhere, stepped two identical versions of me, completely nude. "I am Albigesia," said the one on the left. "And I am Cathar," said the one on the right. "Can you tell us apart?" "No," I answered. "I cannot." "I believe," said Cathar, "that I cannot tell you two apart either." Then as I looked beside me, I saw another version of me, mirroring what I was doing. "What is this?" I asked. "Your tricks won't work with me." "I can tell you are alone," said Albigesia. "But if we come meet you, if we cross the water, then you have to have faith. You must set fire to your passion." I had a bad feeling about whatever was happening here. "Do you come with us on our journey?" Then I remembered one of the messages, one of the three messages the spider told me in my dream. "The golden cross dances along the tide. If it meets its match, someone will surely die." "I can't go on that journey," I said. "I have to find Lauren." "Lauren," they both said at the same time, and began laughing. They were laughing hysterically now, manically. And then they were pulled back into the darkness, and in one swift move appeared the monster, making a horrific noise. I jumped back. It flailed its disgusting tendril-like arms at me, hoping to knock me down, but fortunately, I was just able to move back fast enough. "Help me," a strange, tortured voice uttered from the creature. "Help!" Was that Lauren? What was my plan here, exactly? How did I hope to even begin to save Lauren? My head was pounding, and I could feel my energy being sucked from within, as if I was getting older and more tired and drained. It didn't seem like I'd be able to drag her back out, so instead I'd have to go in. Or better yet, something inside me was telling me that, in fact, I needed to absorb it. As it flapped its black tentacle-like arms at me, I caught one with my right hand and swirled it around my arm like a rope to ensure that it wasn't going anywhere. I could feel a slight hesitancy. It launched another tendril, but I caught it with my left hand and wrapped it around that arm too. I could feel it starting to try and get loose now, but I pulled on it, wrapping more and more around my arm until it was straight in front of me. I could see beneath its shiny skin, faces upon faces on top of one another, all exactly like me, crying, screaming, in pain, shocked, horrified, disgusted. But I accepted them. I accepted them all. I closed my eyes and felt the dense heaviness of the creature as my skin absorbed it like a sponge would do water. I felt its emptiness, its secrets, its shame, its guilt, everything. I took it in. I embraced it. When I opened my eyes, the corridor I'd been standing in was now completely lit up. In fact, the red glow had disappeared. This was just normal light. I looked for Lauren and turned around to see her on the floor, asleep, completely unharmed. "Lauren," I gently shook her. "Lauren, wake up." Slowly she came to and seemed to be confused as to where she was. Then she looked up at me. I smiled back, but she withdrew in disgust. "What is it?" I asked. "I saw things in there. I saw you." "No, that wasn't me. It's some monster. Look, I'm nothing like that." "Well, it certainly looked and felt like you." "Oh God, I feel sick. I've never felt such anger, such disturbing thoughts. You're telling me that's nothing to do with you." "Look, I don't know. I don't know what it is or where it came from. Or where is it now?" she asked, looking around. It's okay. It's kind of... "Where is it?" she asked. It's in me. It's in you. I don't like the sound of that." "But look, can we go now? It's too dangerous here." "No, we can't go anywhere. We haven't found my father yet. That's the whole reason why we're here in the first place." And then felt something inside me, leading me. "Okay," I said. "This way." I didn't quite know where I was going, but I headed into what was once the darkness of the corridor. And there at the end was a simple door, just like the others. "If he's going to be anywhere," I said, "he'll be behind this door." Lauren looked up at me and put her hand on the door handle. But before she opened it, I placed my hand on top of hers. "I just want you to know that whatever you see in there," I said, "you can't unsee." Lauren stared back at me. I lifted my hand off hers. She nodded and opened the door. I just want to say a big thank you to my patrons for supporting the show. Remember, this is currently without ads or sponsors. So if you'd like to show your support, please go to patreon.com/anewwinter or anewwinter.com for more information. Another way of supporting the show is to leave us a review on your podcast platform of choice. The more reviews we get, the more people will listen. Also, we're now on Facebook, so if you want to head over to facebook.com/anewwinter, you can sign up there. Or you can follow us on Twitter @anewwinter or email us at anewwinterpodcast@gmail.com. We listen and we do reply. We're also part of the Dark Myths group. You can find us on darkmyths.org, where you'll find other podcasts similar to this. Music is by We Talk of Dreams. Thank you for listening.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.